Session number 9753, Reel 2.
Mr. Maurice Greenwood, Reel 2. Now, in July 1914, you said you're on the way to France. Could you explain what you'd entered yourself in for?
What I entered myself in for? Well, I always wanted to go to France and never had the opportunity. So I thought, if I go on the International 6 Days Trials at Grenoble, we shall see every mountain and ride over every mountain round Grenoble, and we shall also go into Italy to a place called Stresa, which is on Lago Maggiore, a holiday place. We should spend a night there as guests of the Italian Motor Club. So when I went to France, I met my friend.
How did you organise your trip? What motorbike did you take with you?
A Connaught. A 350cc Connaught, which was made in Birmingham, and the firm lent it to me.
Did you get any sponsorship?
Only when I came back.
So, how did you have to get a passport and things like that before you went to France?
I didn't have passports those days, in 1914, and you could take as much money as you wanted. So I met my friend W.B. Little, and he had a Premier motorbike, and on this Premier motorbike he'd climb Skiddaw in the Lake District to the top of the mountain. And I have a picture here of him climbing Skiddaw. So we found a party belonging the autocar. The president of the ACU was in this Sunbeam motorcar, and the editor of the autocar from England, and there was a minister in the car, and they picked up a man from Paris who was called Boileau, who was a sub-editor and resided in Paris. So we all met on the dock at Le Havre, and the minister said to us, we'll be calling in Chartres to have a look at the cathedral, inside the cathedral. So we all met at Chartres, and we went in the cathedral, and they played the organ for us.
How many British riders were there?
I think there were about four. I think one was in the Navy, AJS rider in the Navy. He had an AJS motorcycle, and Little had this Premier, and I had this Connaught.
Now, this was July 1914. Did you have any inkling that war was about to break out? Had you thought about it at all?
Well, the funny thing about that was, when I were in Southampton, we were having a cup of tea, and a minister said to me, he says, where are you going? I says, I'm going to France. Oh, he says, I wouldn't go to France. I says, why? He says, well, there's a war looming up. Those were the exact words he said. A war? I said, we're going anyway.
Did you follow political events at all? Did you know that there was likely to be a war, except for this war?
Well, I knew this Austrian prince, whoever he was staying in Yugoslavia. Because George Bernard Shaw was as well. If you know George Bernard Shaw. And he said, you must go to Yugoslavia. He says it'll get spoiled. He said it's the best place there is for all of this.
When did he say that?
Somewhere in England.
So you were at Chartres. You were in France at Chartres. Where did you go from there?
We went to a place called Mâcon. That's more or less mid-France, near Chartres. There's two Chartres. you get mixed up with them. And we stayed in an hotel just outside the station at Mâcon. And there was such a nice girl looked after us, and little said to me, he said, I'd like to marry her. Well, I said, well, call coming back. But we didn't do it, and then we went on towards Chamonix. No, not Chamonix. I just get the name, it begins with a V.
But while you were going through France, was there any sort of war fever or any... Could you tell from people, I mean, you're riding through...
No, you couldn't. But eventually I found them, when we'd been in Grenoble, I found them nailing notices on trees on the roadside. Mobilisation. Pour les hommes. Report at Hotel de Ville avec rifle. And I saw that going on when we'd been in Grenoble, and I thought, hey, there must be something funny. And we found out that this Austrian royalty man had been shot in the street in Sarajevo, and Sarajevo became a noted place in Yugoslavia.
How did the French react to the mobilisation? Did you notice any effect of...
Oh, there was a lot of arrangements for troops and getting cannons out and marching soldiers about, and they went towards Verdun.
Did you think that the French were enthusiastic for the war, or reluctant, or what?
I thought they were very enthusiastic at one time, but they got such a clout in they sort of lost their...
At the start, when they were very enthusiastic, was that when you were in Grenoble? You could see.
Yes.
How? What do you mean they were enthusiastic? How did they show that?
Well, they seemed to meet together quickly and form into processions and make their way towards the frontier, the French frontier, which was a Verdun area. And there was some terrible battles at Verdun.
Were the civilians all for it?
Well, a lot of ladies seemed to be in tears when the husbands left them. And I saw the first train come in from Verdun, the Red Cross train, with a lot of French wounded on it into Lyons. And it seemed to upset a lot of people, did that.
How did this getting back to Grenoble, you'd arrived for your trials, the international 6-day trials. Had they started when the war broke out? Did you actually start?
No, they hadn't started.
So what happened to you?
We found it was cancelled
when you
got
there,
of the war, when we'd been there 2 or 3 days, and it was cancelled and postponed till things cooled down.
Did you think this war would affect you when you were in Grenoble?
Oh, it didn't affect me. I didn't care a lot about it, but I remember we did ask some French men about joining the war in France, and they offered us a "un soup au jour, monsieur," which was halfpenny a day. And I said, "Halfpenny a day, beaucoup de cigarette," he said.
What made you think of trying to join up?
We were in France. I didn't know what was going on in England.
But you were from a Quaker background. That's
yeah.
But you were still keen all for the war, were you?
Well, to help them, people of France.
So what happened after the competition was cancelled? What did you do then?
Oh, well, we moved about and we couldn't get petrol. They hadn't petrol pumps, you know, then the bears. They had cans, bidons, they called them. Pour essence. You had to say petrol. If you said petrol, you get paraffin. And you had to ask for essence.
Why couldn't you get essence or petrol then?
Well, they seemed to have stopped a lot of transport of fuel. And then we got in trouble with the police, of course, with no papers.
What happened then? Can you describe what happened exactly?
Well, they'd stop us and ask us for Paula Papier, something like that, you see. Have we a paper to say who we are? Oh, we couldn't say we say Anglais, and they wouldn't seem to take that. And they must have thought we were Germans, which there were a lot of Germans about in France, and they'd be on tours, I expect.
How did they check you out then?
Well, they could see us with their motorbikes. And we went to a place called Rouen one night, and we thought, well, we hadn't but to try and go any further, because we'll be stranded out in the wilds or some place. And we had dinner in Rouen, and people came to the window looking at us eating, and some would say, "Vive l'Angleterre," something like that. Of course, they knew we were English.
Had England joined the war then?
About 3rd of August, didn't they?
4th.
4th, was it?
When England joined. Had they joined when you were in Rouen? Did people know Britain had joined the war? Or were they just hopeful they would?
Oh, they had to join, hadn't they? They were under some meeting they had beforehand with France and Belgium, hadn't they?
So you were
committed to join.
So you were quite popular in France when it was recognised you were English.
Oh yes, they took they gave us lots of things, even when we wanted fruit and wine.
But you still couldn't get petrol.
You couldn't get petrol.
Did you try and... You said you had problems with them earlier about them identifying you as British. Did you try and solve that problem?
Well, we solved it in Lyons. We went to the consul in Lyons.
Is that before or after you went to Rouen?
That was before. And we travelled with this paper with us to show we were British subjects, you see. It were a vive l'Angleterre, something like that, they used to say. And retour, or something like, come back here. It meant come back in the forces, or something like that.
So what did you decide to do at Rouen? You say you were running out of petrol. What did you...
We run out of petrol in Lyons.
What had you done with the bikes?
The mayor took them.
What for what purpose?
Safety, I expect. Or to give them to the French army.
Did you ever get them back?
Yes. We got them back.
When?
After the war. About 6 months after the war.
He came
back by rail.
He came back by rail. Do you have any other recollections of that journey back to England?
Well, the trouble was we were sent to Paris with some Zouaves, they called them. I thought they were Algerian soldiers. Darkies, they were. And the rifles about 6 foot long. And they gave us, they put us on this train in Lyon to go to Paris. And it was a troop train. That's what it was. And we went to Paris with this troop train from Lyons. And we were put off the train at Paris. And we had to make arrangements for getting another train from Paris to Le Havre, which took some time.
When did you call in at Rouen? When did you stop at Rouen? On the way to Paris?
I didn't stop at Rouen, only going from Paris to Le Havre.
That's when you went to, yes.
Yes. Because we went through Rouen. And Rouen were a kind of a shipping port. They used to bring coal from Newcastle to Rouen.
How did you get across the channel? What arrangements did you make from Le Havre?
Oh, we had to wait at Le Havre till there were a suitable boat going to Southampton. And we got on that one and got across that way. And the funny thing about it was, when the Second World War started, I were in Munich. And they locked all petrol pumps up in Munich.
So you had the same problem?
So I had the same problem, but we wanted to get to Switzerland.
We'll talk about that later. Sticking to the First World War. You got to Southampton?
Yeah.
And where did you go from there?
Manchester. And Manchester home.
To Todmorden? Now, what decisions did you take when you got back home? You tried to join you thought of joining the French army. Did you think of joining the British army when you got back?
I thought of joining the British army if I could get in the right place I wanted.
And what did you want?
Well, I wanted to be connected with the motoring section of the British army, such as the Royal Engineers or the Ordnance Corps or the Army Service Corps, so long as I could get a job with a motorbike or a motor. That was what I wanted.
Was that because you felt that you'd be best used because you were experienced in that?
Yes.
Or was it because you didn't fancy serving in the infantry?
No, it wasn't that. I mean to say, we could have had a gun and pop somebody off if we got the chance, but you don't always get those chances. and the Yankees were making a four-wheel drive truck. Now then, with a four-wheel drive truck, you could get a cannon into its position. But with an ordinary British transport wagon, you'd be hopeless getting a cannon into position.
Before we get too far onto that, so you decided to join up. What did you do about it then, first?
Well, I had a few pals at home, and they were all going in what they call the Lancashire Fusiliers. So I went with them to the drill hall.
Todman.
And I queued up two nights, and I never got to the desk for the amount of folks that were signing on.
Was everybody
volunteers?
Was everybody very enthusiastic to join
up? Yes.
What did your parents think, or your father think of you as a Quaker? What did he think of you trying to join the army?
I don't think he ever knew.
Do you think he would have approved?
My own son left school to join the RAF when.
But sticking to your father, would he have approved?
I don't think so. No.
Because of his Quakerism?
Yeah. He may have said, hang on a bit, something like that, but it wouldn't do any good. They wanted the men.
So you queued for 2 days. What did you decide to do then?
Well, it dawned on me, I thought, I'll write to Geoffrey Smith, because he came home in his car before we left France for England.
He was one of the British ones.
He came home in a Sunbeam cab because he didn't waste any time. He got his fuel and made his journey. So I wrote to him and told him the position, and I said, I want to join the army. And I said, I want to join in the mechanical section. Doesn't matter what it is. And he sent a telegram. Report at London at Grove Park. And within 24 hours I was in Grove Park as a complete soldier.
Did you drive down or get the train?
I done train.
What was your reception at Grove Park? Did they give you a medical or anything like that?
Oh, nobody took any notice. Didn't take the slightest notice. The sergeant major gave me a pay book and things like that, and said, that's yours, and go and run around that field.
Now, what unit were you joining? You were joining?
It was the MTASC.
What does that stand for?
Well, I said, I've come as a motorcyclist for a convoy. He says, oh, you'll have to drive a wagon. That was my results at London. You'll have to drive a wagon. Now you're here, and you joined up.
Did you resent that?
Yes. He says you'll have to go to Bulford to the Leyland depot and have a driving test in a field.
Now, what was this exact unit you were in? Was it the Army Service Corps?
It was the Army Service Corps, ASC.
And you were in the Motor Transport Section?
MT, it was called.
On a photograph, it said it was a 74th Company.
Right.
That was your unit, was it?
Yes.
Didn't anything else happen to you at Grove Park before you were sent to Bulford?
Yes, they run us round a field somewhere at Grove Park with some baggage on our backs and made everybody sweat. That was all that happened at Grove Park.
Did you stay overnight at Grove Park?
We slept in Grove Park, that's all I know.
In tents?
In tents, yes.
Now, when you were sent to Bulford, what accommodation did you have there?
Tents.
How many to the tent?
You'd finished your fancy work in buildings. We had a tent. 12. There's 12 panels in a tent, isn't there? There's one for each panel.
What about the food at Bulford?
Oh, the food were all right. It were McConaughey, I expect, and potatoes and meat boiled up in a pan.
How did you react to the army lifestyle? You know, the discipline and the lack of privacy? Because you said you liked the open road and your freedom. How did you settle down to army discipline and having 12 people in a tent with you, or 11 people in a tent with you?
Oh, they were all right, but we got spread when we got out, you know.
But I mean, while you were still at Bulford?
We were only two for a wagon.
But while you were at Bulford?
Yes. Well, we took we went round looking at vehicles we had to drive. Some were Daimlers, some were what you call them? Leylands.
But how did you react to the army conditions and lifestyle? Did you the discipline and?
Oh, it didn't seem to have any effect. I mean, it's what I expected. I didn't want any favours. I thought if they'll leave me alone, I'm all right.
Now, he told you had to be a lorry driver. Did you have to do a test?
Yes.
Can you tell me what the test was?
The test was driving round the field with a Leyland wagon with an observer in the cab to see how you change gear and made the turns and reversing that he gave you instructions for.
Did you have any trouble? You probably hadn't yet. You hadn't driven a lorry before, had you?
No, but it felt anything like a car would to me. Just the thing. Because the vehicle I put on were a Daimler. Well, a Daimler had a sleeve valve engine.
But I mean the one you took your test on,
That was a Leyland.
Did you have any trouble with that?
No.
Well, did the test involve anything else, or was that it?
That were it.
And you passed, presumably.
Mm.
Did you have any other training in driving at Bulford?
Well, you had to go looking at your petrol tank with lights as you get blown up.
But you'd have known that anyway, wouldn't you?
Yes. But they were warning you.
What other training?
Well, there weren't other training except you have to find the right side of the road and keep on your own side and see the road safe enough for your vehicle.
Did they do that by practical things, or were you given lectures?
No, you never get that. All we went out with, we just had one drive to Stonehenge in the dark. That's all we had. That were all the tuition we had.
So it was all lectures, was it, the rest of it? All this advice was in lectures?
No, I didn't get in the lectures.
So when did they tell you all this?
When what?
You said they told you things about, like, not the petrol tanks and driving on the
right side. Oh, well, that was at Bulford. Meant you had to go looking in your petrol tank in dark.
But that
and having a light.